In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. Let no one think, my brother Christians, that it is the duty only of priests and monks to pray without ceasing, and not of laymen. No, no. It is the duty of all of us Christians to remain always in prayer. Our Holy Father, Gregory Palamas, Archbishop of Thessalonica of the 14th century, whom we remember every year on this second Sunday of Great Lent. We remember as well for March 12th the patron saint of our church, St. Simeon, the new theologian, who lived in the 10th, 11th centuries. Two great spiritual lights of church history, two great men of prayer, two great God seekers who sought after God and became God bearers, grace bearing, holy fathers. There are people who attend church, and then there are God seekers. God seekers, those who are seeking after God, wanting to go deeper into union with the living God, both in church and outside of church, both in the sacraments, which are foundational in the Christian life, and in personal prayer, who take seriously the call of St. Paul in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, the call forcefully answered by both our St. Simeon and St. Gregory. In the words of the elder Ephraim of Arizona, he wrote in his Counsels from the Holy Mountain, "I know thousands of souls in the world, throughout the whole world, I would say, who compel themselves in the Jesus Prayer with wondrous results. The prayer fortifies them in their spiritual struggle, it enlightens them inwardly, and they confess thoroughly and sincerely. Distressed by the thoughts and temptations which the demons rouse against those who say the prayer, they run with longing to the Immaculate Mysteries, then they run back to the struggle with thoughts and the passions, and then back again to the mysteries. But they can no longer do without the Jesus Prayer." These thousands in the world are not the elders, monks, and nuns, but lay people like yourself, seeking after God. Both St. Simeon and St. Gregory insisted that direct, powerful communion with God is open to all right-believing Christians. St. Simeon insisted that we can have direct experience of God in this life, on this earth. St. Gregory Palamas explained how it could be that the experience of God's grace is the experience of God's energies, which is God Himself. And St. Gregory resisted a movement in Western thought that put mediators between the creature and God to make the experience of God conform to some rational theological structure, trying to make sense of God who is far away from us. As someone said, there is theology with books rather than a prayer rope. Today, brothers and sisters, we speak of theology with a prayer rope. As it has been famously said, a theologian is one who prays, and one who truly prays is a theologian. Our seeking God begins in worship. As Father Thomas Hopko has written, the Orthodox Church is essentially a worshiping church. We glory in our liturgical life and devotion. We love our services and sacraments, our rites and rituals, our customs and traditions. Liturgical life and worship have preserved the Orthodox Church and the faith of countless Orthodox Christians in the darkest hours, in the darkest hours of Islamic oppression and of Marxist persecution, as well as in the painful conditions of immigrant life when Orthodox came to the West. Father Alexander Schmemann, many years ago, went to an ecumenical meeting of various types of Christians. And the host of the meeting said, "Well, you'll be happy to know we put you down at this end of the table with the Swedish Lutherans because they have liturgy." Father Schmemann quickly said, "Well, I'd rather go down at the other end of the table and sit with the Quakers." Now, why would he say that? Not just to be a smart aleck, though he could be that. The Quakers are known for coming together without liturgy to sit in stillness as a group and wait for the divine light to move and inspire them, or to move and inspire one of them to speak. Sitting in stillness, Hezekiah, this is indeed our Holy Father Gregory, is very much a part of Orthodox Christian spirituality, and especially as taught by St. Gregory Palamas. But it is done on a personal basis, alone with God, sitting still in the presence of God. So we have that reality in Orthodoxy of elaborate, bright, and bold, and sometimes loud services, and colorful, and then quiet sitting in one's personal stillness with God. The call to God in prayer is a call to our peace and sanity and restoration. Practically speaking, prayer in our time begins with prayer books. Prayer books are relatively late additions in Christian life, from after the 16th century, which is considered modern in Orthodox terms. Just recent development. But the prayer books are a primer. They're a teacher of prayer. In those books are the prayers composed by great saints of the church. And the prayer book has morning and evening prayers, which include elements of the church services, of Matins and Vespers and Compline, such as the Creed and Psalm 51, and of course the Trisagion prayers, which we begin all our prayer with. But before the prayer book, people memorize Psalms. The church's first prayer book was the Psalter, where they memorized some of the prayers of the saints, and they prayed the Jesus Prayer, the repetition, continual repetition of the prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me," or "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner." For monastic men and women, the rule of prayer consists of primarily of the Jesus Prayer and prostrations. That's what they make up of their prayer rule. Certain numbers of prayers counted on the prayer rope and certain number of prostrations also done together with the Jesus Prayer. In this active way of prayer, one stands before the icons, prayer rope in left hand, and making the sign of the cross for each petition with the right hand, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me," and repeat that. The typical rule for people is three ropes. Now that can be three 33 knot ropes for beginners. It can be three 100 knot ropes, or it can be three 300 knot ropes, which is probably the minimum for monastics to do three 300 knot prayer ropes of the Jesus Prayer. And one may also add a rope to the Theotokos, where we say, "Most Holy Theotokos, save us," with each knot of the rope. So it's three in one. Three ropes of the Jesus Prayer, one rope to the Theotokos. We pray at a whisper, but just or above a whisper, loud enough to hear yourself when you say the prayer. Besides the active prayer rule, there is the walking around prayer, where one adds the Jesus Prayer to one's walking, driving, sitting, working, and so forth, whether with the prayer rope or not. And this is typically mental prayer, so that people don't think we're talking to ourselves. It's the prayer, so to speak, when you're not praying. The prayer that no one can tell if you're praying, because you're doing other things. You're not just standing still in front of icons. In this case, if a prayer rope is used, you're not so much counting as using it for a touch, connection, as a reminder to pray. Here we have the prayer as a tool to remember God, to regulate our thoughts, and indeed to regulate our sins, to both try and grow close to God and to resist temptations throughout the day. We can as well turn to the Jesus prayer in times of stress and anxiety, and indeed to try to fight back our passions. St. John of the Ladder, centuries earlier than even St. Simeon and St. Gregory, said, "Whip your enemies with the name of Jesus." Whip your enemies with the name of Jesus. Those, of course, are the spiritual enemies, not your boss at work. And those spiritual enemies include our own passions. Finally, there is the more contemplative last stage of the prayer where we start out in the active mode, but then sit and pray the prayer with quiet. Sit in God's presence. You sit and you rest your chin on your chest. Mentally, you focus on your upper chest, where the Fathers speak of placing the mind and the heart in the center of your being. At this point, you may be using the prayer rope or start with it until you come to a deeper stillness. You can coordinate your breathing with the prayer. You breathe in, "Lord Jesus Christ." You exhale, "Have mercy on me." Father Hopko was saying in his latter years that we should have 10 minutes of silence sitting in God's presence every day, whether we coordinate it with the Jesus prayer or just sit in silence. The challenge of just sitting, though, is it will likely become 10 minutes of daydreaming if we don't center our minds in prayer. And I hear frequently over the years, people, they learn about the Jesus prayer and they quickly read of cautions about the dangers of doing the prayer, especially about the breathing with the prayer just mentioned. It's like those warnings, "Do not try this at home." For beginners, you have to begin. For beginners, you have to begin and experience prayer. There's a saying, "God gives prayer to those who pray." God gives prayer to those who pray. Prayer itself is a gift from God. He gives us, seeing our heart's desire, he gives us, inspires us, pushes us to deeper prayer. The warnings about the dangers apply to those who advance in prayer and need experience guidance as to what they might be experiencing. If any of you advance to that degree, we'll send you to a specialist. But the fact of it is, most people give it a try and don't stick with it. They start and stop repeatedly and then go back to their phones. So there's not much danger to be found in that, unfortunately. Unfortunately, may we indeed strive for some danger spiritually rather than the complacency and mediocrity that we too often settle for. So brothers and sisters, let us honor the Holy Fathers Simeon and Gregory. Let us honor their call to prayer, which goes out to us all. Let us honor that they trust us to pray and that God is open to us all, and we can open ourselves to communion with the living God by worship, by sacrament, and by unceasing prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. To him, belongs all glory, honor, and worship through the prayers of our Holy Father, now and ever, to ages of ages. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.